All right, let's
go when you are.
Let's do the thing. Let's do the thing. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everyone else. Welcome back to another Red Jacks On podcast. Today, I think we're all kind of hosting, but I'm going to just take the lead. I am Charlie.
I am Rick.
I'm Fraser.
And I'm Sirhan. Yeah, I fixed my mic. Yeah. Seamless. Edit this in. There was no technical issues on my end.
So we were going to do a dark Disney episode with Danny spoilers. And Tishan. No spoilers, don't worry. I'm not going to spoil any Disney films, especially the ones that came out in the 1940s.
What?
But instead, because both of them couldn't make today, we've decided to just do a little get to know. That's what I've called the episode. Let's get to know. So I'm just going to throw some questions out there. Oh, copyright. Shit. Yeah, I'm just going to throw some questions at you guys and just let our audience learn a bit about us. So we'll start it off with a nice, easy one. What's your favourite sex position? No, I'm joking.
Oh, my God.
Where are you all from and what are your origins? We'll start with you, Rick, because you're the first on my right.
I am from London.
London.
Origins. I am crafted in a lab. Adamantium's exoskeletons. It's a very long story, but
but they couldn't do the hair. All the adamantium in the world, but just not the hair.
That yeah,
mate. If you have
it's a side effect. It was a side effect.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, yeah.
They're
like indestructible, but has to be bald. Oh.
Have you tried to grow hair on metal?
It's worth it. origins. I am. I guess. A mix. I'm like half Indian, half African. From Kenya.
Half African? Is that true? Oh my God, I didn't actually know that. That's mad.
Wow, did you actually not know that?
No, I actually didn't, mate.
I had no idea. Kenya.
Wow, okay. I have great friends.
Hey, you don't know where I'm from.
You're a little bit of a half-closed book, mate.
Yeah.
Half-closed book.
Yeah, that Kenya side was closed. I never knew about it.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go. Learn something new every day.
So who's Kenyan in your family?
My dad's side.
No way. Are they, okay. Like, is your dad full Kenyan?
No. Not full, but yeah, more so than I am, yeah.
Yeah, no shit. backwards genetics, otherwise. Oh, that's pretty cool. There you go, I've learned something new already. Phrase?
Yeah, I'm also from London, born in North Mid. I don't support Tottenham, so don't worry about that. My origins, so I'm quarter Jamaican, quarter Grenadian from Grenada, quarter Bajan from Barbados, and quarter Irish.
Just couldn't make his fucking mind up.
Like, did you take one of those DNA tests to find all that out?
So basically, my mum's half Jamaican, half Irish, although for most of my life she told me I was also part English, but she just told me that because we live in England, born in England, and then my dad is half Canadian, half Bajan.
That's cool, though, isn't it, to have such a mix?
Damn.
I mean, the Irish part, you could probably cut out. Sorry, everyone from Ireland.
Wow.
I was actually a little bit glad that I was more of a whole Irish than Irish-English.
Yeah, I think that's probably...
I like the Irish.
I agree with that, yeah.
They're
I was
good
just trying to have a dig at Danny. Not being it.
The nicest guy we know, Charlie's like, that little bitch.
Oh, wait, I can throw Ireland at him, it's fine. Yeah, you can handle right. it. And you, Sam?
Same in the sense of like London, North London, born and raised. I love the word origin, by the way. It really feels like a superhero thing. My origin. My mum was pregnant. She spilt, I don't know, there was a car accident and there were chemicals splashed in her stomach. And then I came into the world.
Do you know what? I thought that was the case. I'm really glad you've said it because I always have my suspicions.
I tell you every day. Born and raised North London, Turkish born, specifically Turkish Cypriot. But in terms of yeah, like origins and blood, but I would say like socially probably most accurately raised as like a London Turk, which is just different people in different regions.
Yeah.
Does all that, is it like very a lot like culturally, whether you're like Turkish Cypriot or from fully from Turkey, or even having the Turkish London sort of mix?
So I would say that I would connect more with people from Turkey mentality wise, because they've got a city mentality with the cultural sort of understanding and expectations, whereas Cyprus is a small country. It's like even us now saying, would a Londoner connect exactly to a person who lives in the country, even in the UK? It's a very different mentality. You could be the same blood, but it's just a different mentality. I'm a city boy. I am not a small country. Yeah. There's none of that really in me. I enjoy some of it, but I was raised around in Cyprus because of family. So I've got a lot of good family memories, but I don't know if I would just go to the country and be like, yep, I love it.
Makes sense.
That's fair.
What about you, Charlie, with your Mr. Hosting guy?
Mine's so boring. That's why I wanted to put this as the first question, because I hate it when people ask me this. But you guys have such an interesting, rich, like, genetics. And then there's just me, like, I'm from England and I'm English.
Yeah, but
I literally have nothing else.
If you did a DNA test, though, I'm sure
you'd have to.
There's no such thing as one culture, one blood. There's a mix there to get there.
I mean, this is just me going on, like, what I truly believe. I do believe I'm about 50% Cherokee, and probably about 50% Hawaiian.
Cherokee. Okay, it's good to have three.
I was like, yeah. Cherokee. Are you being serious?
He was taking it so seriously. I was like,
you like Hawaiian?
No, I'm just boring. Sorry.
We should do a DNA test. We should.
I did think about that. That could be a fun episode where we all just get our results back. That would be fun.
Still full English.
Imagine. I'd be so gutted. Actually, that's the point. I don't want to know. I don't want to know, because if I am full English, I'll just be like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, but what if we end up being mixed and we're like, oh, I've got this culture in, and it's like, wait, how did those two bloods mix? You're like, oh.
Oh, actually, yes.
This feels a bit historical.
That's it,
British fucking Brazilian, something crazy. Like, what the fuck? How did that get in?
Well, if he was like 2% badger.
I mean, that would make sense. I do like to dig holes. Okay, question two. What is your favorite genre/type of show? I put genre/type because I thought if you want to say like anime or animation or something.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start off with you, Sahan, and we'll go backwards.
My favorite type, or just favorite show in general?
I mean, what is your favorite show? And maybe that will kind of suggest what your favorite type of show is.
That's a big question. Do you know what? I would say, I won't call this my favorite show ever, because I think there's too many categories, but one of my favorite shows I've always said is The Good Place.
That's a good show.
Literally because it is funny, it is silly, it's deep, you learn, but it's also in terms of like a show production. I like shows where it's very balanced in everything it tries to do, and there's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. It never went as further than it needed to. It never got cancelled, thankfully. So it's the perfect, well-rounded show. So like, that's one example that I would definitely put on my list. Is The Good Place is one of my favorite shows, but probably one of the best balanced shows made.
Okay. That's an unexpected answer. That is a great show, though. It was really well written.
Yeah.
Go on, Fraser. What would you say is your favorite show?
It's tough. It's definitely like evolved a lot. I mean, like my favorite movie, my favorite set of movies is The Matrix. Obviously, we've done a podcast on that.
Good shout.
But like, I feel like possibly when we were younger, like genres were way more split up. Because I did like a lot of comedy. Like I liked watching Jim Carrey growing up. And then like action shows, definitely action movies are probably up there, and then they all kind of start to bleed into each other. Like I think comedy got more and more popular, and comedy then starts to bleed into certain action films, like even with Marvel and stuff like that, they've got to have the odd joke here and there. So and I do like to watch a little bit of horror as well. Like that's definitely changed a lot over the years, but it's a bit hit and miss these days. It depends on how it is. But yeah, a little bit of everything, really. Thrillers.
What would you say your favourite show of all time is?
Favourite show of all time? I really liked, although I didn't watch it again, what was the... I can't remember its name. How could it be my favourite? It's the one with Anthony Mackie in the second season anyway. And he... and
Altered Carbon.
That's
a banging show. That's a banging
show. I love the way that they do that sort of futury cyberpunk kind of stuff. I like it when that's done really well.
So you like futuristic-y, deep kind of deep sci-fi, kind of, I'd say then.
Cerebral kind of... stuff, yeah.
Well, literally syncs with the Matrix, basically.
Yeah.
It does. It does. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's great. Go on, Rick.
I mean, I can't. It's hard for me to think of a favorite movie or a favorite show in general off the top of my head. But I think similar to Phrase, like it started off as like comedy. I used to love comedy stuff when I was younger, and then I think it slowly changed into like action stuff and then anime kind of things. But I think nowadays, like, my go-to kind of genre, if I'm gonna watch a movie or something, was like a sci-fi kind of thing. Anything spacey, futuristic, or like fantasy stuff, like Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit. That kind of stuff I love, because you can just do so much with it, and when it's done properly and you have the imagination and budget and everything to back it up, it's just insane storytelling and visuals and everything. So I like sci-fi stuff. I think that's kind of like my go-to at the moment. When it's not anime, because anime is another favorite I think we all love. Favorite show of all time though, I'm leaning more towards something like Community or Friends, just because they're just classic.
Shows. Rewatchability.
Like, I can't even tell you how many times I've rewatched Friends and Archer and Community over and over and over again. It's just one of those shows. It's just endlessly funny, no matter how many times you've seen it. Whether they're my favorite shows of all time, I don't know, but I probably watch those more often than any other show. So, I guess one of those.
Yeah, fair enough. Did you guys watch the Friends reunion when James Corden said how many views Friends has had, like a stream, sorry, that Friends has had since being on Netflix?
No.
100 billion streams it's had since being on Netflix. Mate, when James Corden said it, he looked back at the prompter because he thought he got it wrong. It's like 100 billion. No. 100 billion.
That is crazy, but it's completely believable.
Yeah, because, mate, I rewatch it all the time. I fall asleep with it on because it's so easy to watch and, like, so comfortable. Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. What about you? Your favourite?
I think my favourite type of show, I think at the minute, I do love watching an animation. I just feel like animation or anime can do, like, whatever they want and just break convention. But I do love, as Sirhan said, like when it has a beginning, middle and end. If it fucks up any of those three main things, I really lose interest. If it has a solid beginning, middle and end and is doing something I've never seen before at the same time as following those three steps, that's like the sweet spot for me. Something that's like, wow, this is like mind-blowing, but also following a good story format. Because there are shows that kind of like, wow, this is really interesting and really unique, but I have no idea what the fuck is happening because it's all over the place. Like, they're the kind of shows I'm like, everyone says I'd like it, but I know I won't because I know it's not going to have that good sweet spot. Yeah. Question three. Shit, Mr. Camera. What was your first job?
My first job?
Go on, Fraser. I think you haven't started us off yet.
Yeah, I guess it would have to be when I got out of uni. I got a job in sales, funny enough. Really hard to get a job out of uni. And it wasn't too difficult either, because it was like selling, not even really selling, but promoting loft insulation.
Was that your first job? Shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty much, yeah. I don't think I had any, like, ever had any little side jobs or anything like that. Yeah, pretty much.
And I joined you with that.
Decent.
Yeah, you did. Okay, join me for a little bit doing that. And, yeah, got to the good thing about that job, though, is that I got to go to all different places around London, got to see a lot of different residential areas and stuff like that, even outside of London as well. I even moved up to Colchester for a little bit. We opened an office up there, so moved out for something like 6 months or something like that. So that was nice. And it was lots of nice people to work with as well. Like, it was a really social job. Like, I was very much like an introvert, like pretty much up until that point, because you have to be more extroverted if you're going to sell stuff, because you're more selling yourself. So yeah, that was actually a really good experience, even if it wasn't super profitable.
That was the problem I had with it, is that my first paycheck home, I was like, the fuck have I just got? I've been paid the shittest thing. But it was because, like, as Fraser said, like, you had to, if you got up to that point, you could sail, but you had to fucking get to that point. And obviously, I'd come from like a minimum wage job. And so that I was like, on a minimum wage job, the hours I've been doing, I'd be taking home like £1,000 and I took home like 500. And that's, my brain just went, nope, this is not worth my time. But then when you were like moving up to Colchester and that, I was like, I think I fucked up. I probably should have stuck to it. But yeah.
It was definitely a lot of work for what you got paid and stuff like that, but yeah
sales is kind of tricky. Like, if you can if you got a gabby mouth and you know how to talk and sell, and even just if you know how to talk and hold a conversation, you probably do well in sales. But if you're not doing that and you're meeting your goals or whatever, sales can be fucking brutal, man.
Once I got invited into a house and they were like sitting down eating like bacon sandwiches. I was like, sit down, have a bacon sandwich. I was like, oh, cool, breakfast.
The friendliest kidnapping ever. Sit down, take this duct tape and take this sandwich. Rangers are like, yeah, it's nice.
So you see, like, lots, huh? You're spending the rest of your life in one.
Do you like ransom notes?
Ricky. What was your first job?
First actual job was me doing paper routes in like year nine, I think it was. Was doing paper routes.
I don't remember ever getting the paper.
I probably burned yours.
They're just coming up to your door, like, bullshit is this?
Yeah, no, it was like the corner shop at the bottom of the road. He's like, he had like certain houses that were subscribed to whatever papers that he was. So 7 days a week, regardless of the fucking weather outside, like, I was up at 6 a.m, down to the shop, pick up the fucking newspaper sack thing, do my rounds, do all the houses on my little route or whatever. And then drop the bag off, head home, get my shit ready, get sorted for school, and then go to school 7 days a week.
Damn!
Saturdays and Sundays was like thicker papers. On Sundays, you used to get like these fat papers with the fucking leaflets and little magazines and demo discs and whatever bullshit people had subscribed to. So it was like, I'd stuff this bag once, and it would only be enough for like half of all the people. So I'd do the half the journey, go to the shop, refill the bag with all this heavy ass bullshit, and go back out, finish the second run. And I'm like up in council flat buildings, walking up all up and down these fucking stairs. Bro, it was fucking
how
the worst.
Were you
job
allowed nine to do a job like that in year?
I'm pretty sure it was illegal. It was cash in hand, and it was like £15 for a week, I think it was.
What?
Bro.
No,
that's,
I think it was like £15 a day.
£15 to £17 a week, and I get paid every week as well. But when you're in year nine, it's like, oh, I'm getting paid. Okay, cool. I'm not going to say no to any fucking money. Yeah. It wasn't until after when I realized that I'm getting royally fucked by this guy and his fucking wage system. I was like, nah, I'm out. But other than that, my first actual job was working in a call center, kind of like sales for accident advice hotline, which I'm pretty sure you will remember.
Yeah,
yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, appreciated that for about 10 years. It's like, guys, can you please just put in a... Oh, wait, should we even say this? I think that's
bad. I mean, I don't work there anymore, and they've changed their name. So for context, it was like, it's another sales kind of job, and I needed to make my target for the month. And I was like three or four customers away from meeting my quota. Yeah. So I messaged you guys, and I was like, look, I'm going to call you at work and just pretend you've been in an accident so I can like bump up my score a little bit. And he was like, yeah, sure, mate, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Called you, and I think you must have been getting letters and calls, and you was getting chased by all from work for months.
Mate, you said you were like, yeah, it's fine, we'll just do a conversation, it'll literally be like 10 minutes, and then you'll just receive some documents in the post, and then just throw them away. It's fine, you never see anything else. It's like, yeah, okay, that's fine, like, you know, if it helps you out. We did it, 10 minute conversation, got this little thing through the post, threw it straight in the bin. I was like, yep, cool, I helped Rikesh out. 10 fucking years, mate, I was getting phone calls and emails and letters through the fucking post.
Appreciate it, boys. That's what friends are for. That's what friends are for.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about you, Sahin? What was your first job? I won't answer it for you. Go on. What was your first job?
It was this. I'm moving on.
I was about to say, was it this? But that would be stupid if it was. It'd be a waste of question.
My first job, I mean, I'm a bit like Rick, where I kind of had like an unofficial first job. So I would say my first experience earning a little bit of money was my dad taking me on his private jobs as a carpenter to other people's houses. And I would help him do like projects and stuff. And that's where I learned a bit more of my trade.
Cool.
And then at 16, he got me into the factory he worked in. But all I did, I didn't do any physical work. All I did was more of just a cleaning job. So it was more like maintenance, going after the machines and vacuuming and cleaning. And it was fucking crazy. Like, I remember they had a massive boiler. Obviously, they would throw all the spare wood into and burn. But on the weekends, it was off. And it was this massive fucking like outhouse building, round, this metal cylinder.
Do you mean a furnace?
Yeah, what did I say?
Boiler.
Did I say a boiler? Oh, shit. they really like their heating. No, sorry. A furnace, a giant furnace. They gave me a vacuum and all of these extra little cleaning stuff. And I just climbed this like a fucking Assassin's Creed all around and just fucking dusted like a motherfucker around the round. But yeah, that was like a 16 job, like a little Saturday job. My first proper real job was Asda. Probably just before 18, hitting 18. Asda was my first proper, like, this is my job. I'm defining myself. There's no friends or family around me. I don't know anyone. And I must admit, I loved it. It was one of those jobs where it was perfect for uni. It was perfect for my age. The money was good for what I was doing. But also, like, the job was okay. But the people were amazing.
Usually, how it goes.
Yeah,
the people. What kind of keep you going in it?
100%. I mean, in all fairness, the management I had was really good. The people I had was really, really good as well. So I was lucky in that regard. As there wasn't a bad place to start, but that's the place that taught me like money, hours, overtime. What I could and couldn't do at work. I mean, I remember the first time I sat there, and obviously you give your available days and then they set a contract for you. My work was always going to be part-time. And I'll never forget, I can't remember. It was like, I don't know, Monday, Tuesday, and a Saturday, let's say. And one of the shifts, it was like Monday, let's say, and it was 12 to 9 p.m. And I'll never forget, I looked at it and I was like, 9 hours? I thought, no, that's a mistake. I thought school is 6 hours. There's no way a human can do more than that. What's eight to 9 hours? I thought, this has taken my whole day. So I went up to I went up to the manager. I said, I'm sorry, is there a mistake? She said, what do you mean? I said, this is 12 to 9. She's like, yeah. I'm like, that's 9 hours. She was like, yeah, that's a standard shift. And I was like, what the fuck?
Wow.
I'm giving my whole day for this. And I was like, okay, I guess so. And then obviously you do it and you get used to the rhythm. But in the beginning, I was like, no, I thought school is already long enough, but without realizing school was like the easy step compared.
It's almost like school should prepare you for the real world.
Man, it's almost like it doesn't, Fraser.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like, I want to learn about taxes and stuff. No, we're going to do algebra that you may use if you do one specific type of job in the whole world. But I got taxes. Don't worry about that. You'll learn about that.
I know the taxes are coming.
What about you, Charlie? What was your first job?
I had a paper. Well, I kind of had a paper round with Craig when I was like 13. But I never got paid for that. Craig did. So, I mean, technically, I don't think it was my job. I just, yeah. I'm a slave, just... really. Just worked for free. So, yeah, not really a
just
job.
Just there for the pants.
He just gave you all the papers. Yeah. All right, go on, mate. You know what you're doing.
Mate, back then, I had a freaking CD Walkman. And I was like, we'd ride our bikes to deliver the papers. And I'm like, got Linkin Park spinning in my pocket. And there's just me cycling around like, I've become soda. 6 a.m, waking everyone up.
Jesus.
Every now and then it would skip and I'd have to like wait for it to catch up. But then I think my first proper job was with Chris at Pearson's, I'd say.
Oh my God. Oh, that shit. Job was hilarious with you.
Oh my God. I remember. Honestly. There was a time when Chris was working up there. And when you started working up there, it was like a regular thing to just go Pearson's and fuck around upstairs for a bit.
Honestly, mate, some of the things that we used to do are just timeless. They're so funny. If there was a lot of us working, we'd pick one table and we'd all, one by one, just go out and clean that one table and come back. And then the next person would go out and clean that table and come back and just see if anyone noticed what we were doing. So much shit like that. Oh, it's so funny.
Stupid, mate. Effective.
But yeah, kept us busy. I think I once drank a whole mug of we had like a dump bucket, so like, because it was all like coffees and all that shit, you chuck it all in like the dump bucket they bet me £10 I wouldn't drink a whole mug of it, me being that fucking 16-17 year old idiot. I was like, tenner, yeah, all right. I did. I felt so unwell. It was so bad. I've probably got things wrong with me now because of that. great job.
That
sounds amazing. So, what would you say out of like all the jobs that we have worked, what would be like your favorite job that you've had so far up until now?
Oh,
I would probably say this job, what I'm doing now. I love what I do now, which probably should mention what we actually do now as well. But like, I am a counselor now and I love my job. Like, it's difficult. It's not easy. Timetable, money, working as your own business is fucking difficult. I would love to have more money, but I love my job now and I wouldn't change it for shit. I would just want it to be more successful.
That's good.
When you say like, what one did you enjoy the most? Like, it's so hard because I had so much fun working at the bowling alley. I had some of the most incredible people around me, like so many different fun characters that taught me so much about the world. But the job that I do now is... it's awesome. Like, it's just such a fun job. It's stressful as hell. Like, you know, it's very stressful, but I fix and build arcade machines. Like, and I get to do that all day. And just, it's
that sentence fun. Alone is cool, man. That sentence alone is cool.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a good job. It pays well. It gives you a company car and all that shit. So, yeah, I've got to say this job. Otherwise, I'll get sacked. So,
do you ever think you have the chance to come across like, an old, like, abandoned arcade machine that you could just take and fix up yourself?
I did, actually. I came across one at an auction. It wasn't so much an arcade. It was a jukebox, like an old 1980s
The
jukebox.
One at your dad's?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it came with two cabinets. Both had I.O. boards and stuff in, and, like, PCBs and that. And I was like, between the two cabinets, I should be able to make one working cabinet. But it was all wrecked. It was so disappointing. And like, none of the parts are like replenishable or, you know, purchasable anymore. So it was a dud project. But I would love to, I would definitely love to like find some old machines and be like, let's fucking do them up. Like, let's get them working. My dad had an old penny machine, like the old 1p's that were like massive.
The
old penny arcades. Yeah, he used to have one of them, which was really cool.
I've got an old arcade machine downstairs, mate. It's fucked. It's been sitting there for like
the pinball machines.
It's like a proper full standing arcade machine. It's buried under 2 tons of shit now.
Why haven't you told me? I would have just see if I could fix it.
I honestly can't remember what's... I know that there's a bunch of different games on there. I don't know what they are. I've not played it since I was literally like 2 or 3 years old. But it's in there. If you want it, mate, take it. It's just sitting there.
I mean, I could come around and fix it, and then you've got a working thing.
Well, if you're going to fix it, you might as well just take it home. Like, honestly,
let him have it. You're going to fix it and he's going to throw more shit on top of it.
I've currently got a jukebox I'm trying to get rid of.
fair enough.
I need to stop bringing things in.
We can swap.
I'll take your jukebox. You can have my jukebox, that's fine.
Yeah, go on, Fraser. What about you? What's your favourite job that you've had so far?
Again, I really like what I'm doing now. It's more in line of what I've wanted to do since uni, I guess. You know, again, uni doesn't really prepare you again for, you know, what kind of jobs are out there, but that's a whole different thing. But now I work in defence. I'm a systems engineer I'm a systems engineer and I work on different products. At the moment I work on flight sticks for airplanes.
But
I deal with all different kinds of things as well. Yeah.
That's mad. Mate, the last I heard, you were working at the water company.
That was like a year and a half ago I left. It was about 2 years ago I left that now.
I had no idea.
This is why we need to do more of these fucking podcasts.
We have great friends.
Great friends.
That's nuts.
I'm sure I would have told you guys. But I was going to say, like, you know, this is where this job is like more in line with what I've wanted to do, and I'm learning a lot and I'm enjoying it. The job I had in water hygiene was a really cool job to get into when I got into it. Like, it started as a water technician. You go to a company car, you get to drive like near enough all over sort of the south of the country, right, and just visit different places. And it's quite physical, also a little bit technical, and there was a lot to learn as well. That was really fun to get into and work my way up through. So I was in that business for about 7 years.
That was quite enjoyable.
How did you get this job then? I mean, it sounds very secretive, so I mean, I assume you're limited on what you can say, but how did you come across it?
So another thing about the last job I did, they were quite flexible on my hours, so I was able to do 4 days, and then I had a study day. So I was doing a master's at the same time, distance learning.
Go on, Fraser.
And then, so I finished that, well, back like 2 years ago. And then the company that I worked for, Kingfisher, I don't know if you guys remember, they got bought out by a larger company and there was loads of changes going on. So it was a good time to leave as well anyway. And I had to give like 3 months notice. So,
shit.
Yeah, Jesus. Crazy. So I gave my notice and started looking for jobs. And then this one come up. The site that I work at is literally just up the road from me as well. I went for that and I got that job. They were having a recruitment drive as well. I think they still are. So, yeah, it worked out.
Nice.
Tempting.
Nice little Kingfisher plug there. Decent.
But Kingfisher doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately. But they were really good, like little water company, but they had like a foothold, like they serviced like loads of leisure centres around the country, and they had like kind of had a little bit of a monopoly on it. So they were doing really well, and then they got bought out, and the CEO got like $2 million for it or something like that.
Yeah, they always do.
Not in a bad way, but that's not really a lot of money to buy out a whole company.
It's not really. But it was cool. He used to see him all the time as well. Like, he had his own office in the main site, which was in Ware.
Ware.
Exactly.
Now, like, I know where that is. I fucking know it.
The back of my hand. Danny had to deal with that for years.
Yeah. I can't believe he travelled that far to get to school. Mm. It's crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. We used to get the train together when I used to go to my mum's house in Cheshunt, and it'd be like, yeah, he's got like four more stops. And it was such a long journey just to Cheshunt. It's like, yeah.
Madness. But another fun fact, the CEO of Kingfisher, his dad was the head teacher at Kingsmead before Mr. Bird.
I think you told us this once, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think probably in the Kingsmead episode.
Yeah, I think I might have mentioned it there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, back then the school was a shit hole, so
yeah.
I don't think he did a good job.
No, I only got good when we got there.
Actually, it's true.
Brickesh, you didn't answer your own question.
Favorite job? I think everyone has said what they're doing now is their favorite, so I guess what I'm doing now is also my favorite job. Yeah.
What is it really?
What is it?
It was by far simple. It was by far working at the cinema.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a great job.
That was the best job I think I've ever had. I think I was there for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And after like the first few months, once you've kind of broken into it and you know what you're doing, it never really felt like work. It just felt like I'm going to go hang with some mates for the day and get paid for it. And we just fuck around all day, every day, cleaning screens or making popcorn or just fucking around stealing shit. Because, it happened. I think that
did you ever take a whole bag of popcorn?
I took many things.
Any cool posters and stuff like that.
Yes, he got me my Wolverine poster.
Yeah, posters I used to take a lot. There was a lot of stuff we used to take from the cinema. By far the best job I think I've ever had. Like everyone when I was there, we were all around the same kind of age. So everyone was always on the same kind of flex. There was a lot of people from school that when I was working there, they applied, like Abby Rice. She applied for a job there when I was working there. When they still had the bar upstairs before they changed it into a Starbucks. Working on the bar was fucking 10 out of 10. That was also great. I think in general, that was like the people that I've worked with and the memories that I remember, that is by far the most fun job I've ever had. Mm-hmm. What I do now is much more to what I want to be doing with like IT and all that kind of stuff. Because I'm like an IT supervisor for a sports streaming company. But it's more what I want to do in IT, but like programming kind of stuff. But that Cineworld job was by far the best experience, best 2 years. In my
explain a little bit more about your current job, actually, because I don't know what that meant.
I look after a lot of big clients. I probably can't say because I know there's people from work that listen to this. A lot of big kind of sports
like companies and subscribe.
That you know that I look after a lot of their streams. So anything breaks, anything fucks up along the way, I got to try and figure out what it is, fix it. Coding, it's a lot of kind of weird stuff, but it's cool. I like it. It's interesting, but I'm just kind of fed up with the job.
Do you know what? You've obviously not explained it because to a certain extent, maybe you can't or anything, but I don't know why I imagine it to be like...
Are you under duress?
Not even that. Do you know when you go on those like fucking like those channels where there's girls dancing and they're like, call me. And they're like, call me. And I strip. I feel like Rick does that for a job, but for sports channels is like Sky, football, Premier League. And you're like, what?
Press
like,
the red.
Call me. Call me. I'll set you up with one right now. What are you wearing, big boy? Oh, you need the Sky Deluxe package, big boy. He's like, oh, shit.
I would be good at that.
That's what I imagined.
If that was my job, I would be good at that.
I reckon Rikesh would be tempting until he picks up the phone. Hi there, get the fucking package, fucking do it. Just like bully you into it. You're like, okay, I'm sorry. So I'll buy all the football. I'll buy even American first football. I don't even watch it. Sorry.
So I'm going off on a Sirhan tangent.
Didn't explain your job. I had to explain it. Okay, from now on, Rikesh strips for sports.
Thanks,
that's
mate.
His tagline. Yep. Hashtag strip for sports.
That's basically is what is in my head now. So
SFS.
That's canon.
Yep, can't unsee it.
That's canon.
All right, question. Whatever number we're on, I'm just picking random ones at this point. What hobbies do you have? What's your passions?
Oh, hobbies.
Who should we start with?
Let's start with you. You haven't gone first.
Yeah, because you're not going to choose yourself.
All right.
Put on the spot.
I love a bit of football. You know me. I'm like Labrador mentality. I love chasing the ball around. always up for a kickabout. And pretty much anything that just involves friends, like paintball and shit like that. I love doing activities and shit like that. But I am very creative and I love making stuff. So I love just sitting on an iPad or in front of a screen, just writing stuff, making stuff. That is my forte for sure.
Yeah.
So like, but when you say creating stuff, it's like from what I know of you, like very music and like story.
50 Shades of Grey fan fiction kind of
Stuff. Yeah, mostly 50 Shades fan fiction. Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Grey walked in with a large bulge.
Vagina. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, well, fanfic, you changed it.
I'm not very good at it, I'll be honest.
Chad, you don't want to give your best stuff away. If you want it, please subscribe. Find Rikesh's Stripping Sports channel, and he can get you in contact with Charlie's. Yeah, there will be a collab there.
Yeah, yeah.
Red button. We'll red button magic.
What I need to do is have sex first, then write these sex things. You'll have more idea what I'm talking about.
That's what one day. That's what Charlie does. When Rikesh's segment ends, he's just there like, copy. I want to have sex, please.
Please, I don't know what I'm doing.
I really want to write a sex story.
He keeps comparing everything to football.
So. He's got skin like a Man United football ground. Yeah, I don't know what that would be like.
So coming back to reality, do you kind of mesh everything in, or do you have like a music project, a writing project, a drawing project?
I have just mad ADHD going on all the time, mate. I've constantly just like, I'll start something and I'll be like on it solid for sometimes up to like 3.5 years with two dudes. And then I'll like have to distract myself with something else for a bit while I like put that on the back burner while like stuff brews, because I get stuck. And then while I'm fixing something else, I like, oh my God, that's a really cool idea. And I'll go back to the other one and I'm just bouncing between like, I think probably about 6 things at the minute, just little things, like very, very little things, but like Two Dudes is still in the works, and I do a family album every year for my family, which is just comedy songs that I write.
Awesome.
Which is really fun.
I heard that album the other week, by the way, with the when I got to that rap with you and CERN, and then you walked out of the room and CERN was like, all right, let me show you
that was my first. It worked perfectly for the skit, but when Charlie sat me down and said, like, this is what I want you to do, I was like, Chad, this is my first ever official rap that I will ever do in my life, that I know, that I will know from top to bottom. And it didn't actually take as long, did it? It took like what, 4 maybe 5 takes to really just get one that worked.
At first he was very singy, you know, very, very singy, and then what did I say? You do it in the style of Dizzy Rascal.
Yeah.
I was like, try and do it in like that kind of British, you know, like try and hit those things like, you know, like Dizzy does. First take, mate. First take. That was pretty much one take as well. That one that's in the song. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, stuff like that.
I'll link it in the description.
Yeah, why not?
Actually, you could, because there's no copyright. We could actually even use all the music you make in all of our potties, because they're not copyrighted.
I mean, we do technically.
Considering that the intro and outro is yours already.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. Exactly. That's very true.
Yeah, I do have lots of music if you ever want to use it. I mean, when you was getting all the royalty-free stuff, I kind of thought, oh, I could have probably piped up and said there's loads of songs here that you can use as well. But I thought, no, it's probably better that you get actual music rather than just... Because all, you know, specifically made for something. So it's like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got lyrics in it that will be talking about EMI and stuff, and you'll be like, what the fuck is that?
Fair enough.
Yeah. What about you guys? Sam?
I like to do...
Boys. Sorry. Carry on, mate. Carry on. Finish.
You know what, Rick? You say stuff like that, and then you come round my house. So I don't know what you're fucking...
Well, I mean...
Like boys! And I'm one of them. That's because I paid for the deluxe package, guys. That's why it keeps coming round.
Yeah, I get
you get the live show. All right, so I like a lot of random stuff as well. I like music making. I don't do too much, but I always have a good jam, creating little beats on the guitar and stuff. I would say like standard stuff like reading, writing. I would say of late, the two main things that I fall back on the most is probably like, I love yoga. I don't know if that would really count. Isn't that more an activity? Yeah. But yoga, I even done half an hour today. It's like, it's my 30-year-old hobby, if you will. And my 60-year-old hobby that I'm starting at 30 is crocheting. Because I fucking... Guys, please, just look at this, right? Look at this. I can't show it anymore because it won't work. But look, it's my link hat.
That's good.
Put it on.
Come on.
I kind of. Da.
Has it got needles and stuff in it at the minute?
There's a bit of yarn.
Wait, put it on while I play you your Zelda theme. Hang on.
It's been so long since I've had hang to on, ready? Fucking listen to this.
Here we go, ready?
Guitar. Okay,
hold on. I do it.
It's gonna be so out of tune as well, it's gonna be hilarious.
It looks more like a sleepy hat.
Oh yeah, you look more like an elf than Zelda.
Yeah, you look like you're going to bed, mate.
Oh, you do. What's that film? Christmas the Carol. Sleepy, yeah. That's what you look like. Scrooge. That's what he wears.
I have an extra big head. I'm stretching it out. But yeah, so I love crocheting. And I know you guys know that because I have made you all something.
Yeah, and really, really, they were really, really cool. I mean, we did already mention it in another podcast, but Sir had made us all a little Marvel character each. I got Spider-Man.
Crochets.
Yeah.
I've got Captain America.
I got a good old Iron Man.
With an arc reactor.
But you know, I will always say, and I will say this outright for whatever we say. I know we have our individual passions and a lot of it crossover, but my favorite hobby-ish fun stuff to do, apart from like socializing and fun friend stuff, is collabing with you guys. Mm. Doing something by yourself is one thing, but collaborating is the funnest thing you can do. And I love, like, even if it's like Charlie's gonna make a song, for example, on the iPad, I've got no technical skill, no understanding of how to do that, but I love to collaborate, listen, reflect, but try this, let's try that, let's use this voice, or just being around the conversation. I could watch you guys in your element all day. That's like my funnest thing to do. That hence, it's true, hence the podcast.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Phrase.
Yeah, like you kind of like to do lots of little creative things and then chuck up on the back burner.
Yeah.
Like my actual like uni project is something that I want to go back to, which was like simulating a drone and getting it to fly.
Praise that. Who do you work for? What do you do? Because your comments are classified. National security shit.
Classified.
Bro.
I just want to make it classified.
I can tell you, we're going to be in the death note tonight.
I just want to tweak the nuke.
Writing. And yeah, just creating stuff, really. I like to run. I like running. I go on a run every Tuesday morning.
I just kept running.
That's what I was hearing. I just kept running.
And doing little challenges and stuff like that, like traveling and stuff. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else? Oh, I've got this little drawing board. I'm pretty sure you gave it to me. Like, I don't know if it's blurry, but there it is.
Oh yeah,
the drawing board. Yeah.
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 But I set up there.
I'm glad you're using it, mate. I'm glad you mentioned your writing as well, actually, because I sometimes think about the story you sent me. Every now and then. Have you carried on with it? Like, have you got any more of it?
Yeah, I carried on the second bit and I got most of the way through that. But I need to come back to it. Like, it's always in my head.
Yeah, I know it.
Everything that happens. And I want to draw a little bit of, I have drawn some of the beginning, but I think I just want to draw some characters in certain scenes, because even with writing as well, sometimes you can get bogged down in the parts that are obviously leading up to other bits and stuff like that. I think it comes the same with like drawing, comics and manga and stuff. So yeah, I just need to get more into maybe a sort of routine, or maybe like just saying, yeah, for an hour, I'm just going to sit here and do this. Because once you get started, you get into it. But if you're thinking about doing it, sometimes you just don't get to it. Which is my problem.
It puts you off when you think about it.
Yeah.
Because then you don't know where to begin. Sometimes I just begin with, like, if I've got inspiration for something, I'm like, all right, let me just quickly jot down the ideas. So at least I'm not holding on to like a list of 10 things for one project. Mm-hmm. And then I can pick and choose where to start from. But yeah, I definitely agree. I'm in the same sort of mentality when it comes to stuff like that.
Also, like cooking.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That's cooking a good show, actually. Yeah, I love cooking now.
Just to bring it back, am I missing something? What is this story that you've been writing? Is it something that you've sent to all of us, or have I just missed it? Which is like a secret.
I don't know if I sent it in the group kind of chat or if I sent it to Charlie.
You did just send it to me because we were speaking about it. I might have emailed
it to you or something like that. Yeah. It's basically an anime I've got in my head.
And I've written it down
because I think I found that drawing it was just taking a long while. So I was going to write it down, get everything out, and it helps me flesh out certain details as well. And then go from there, really. So yeah, I can actually send the first, because the first bit's done. So I can send you the first arc, and then.
When you say the first bit or first arc, in terms of anime or even manga, like, is that like the first season almost, or like just the first part of a season?
Or first episode.
It could be a season, I reckon. I think it wouldn't be a super long season. Because anime seasons are also kind of weird. I mean, it depends on if they put in things like training arcs and stuff to long it out. But yeah, I don't think it would be. Maybe it would be like an 6 to 8 episode, maybe season type thing.
I think some of the best seasons are.
Mm.
Yeah, a well-paced show is amazing. Yeah. But in all fairness, even things like training montages, unless it's a relevant point to the main story, you don't need to write that. If someone said to you, right, we're going to buy your anime, you've got 8 episodes worth, we're going to put 2 extra fillers, it's easy enough to add that montage in after the fact, because if you want to bump it up. But if you've got the main bulk, the rest is irrelevant, as long as it's a good story. And I would imagine yours would be.
Yeah, I mean, mate, fucking send it over. I want to read that, whatever it is that you've got written up. Especially if there's like a whole fucking season's worth of stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah, send it up, man. I want to read that.
Yeah. I'll link it.
It's just a hate note to Rikesh. There once was a guy.
For fuck's sake.
A really asshole guy.
And he was bald. Kind of cool.
But kind of cool. Did everyone answer the question? Rick?
No,
Rick.
Hobbies. I'm going to sound really boring. I don't really have any hobbies.
I play a lot of games.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, gaming is a hobby that you probably all share as well.
Gaming.
True.
Masturbate.
Yeah.
Gaming. Music. cinema stuff. I'll go into the cinema stuff. I don't see a lot of people in the cinema anymore, but I love still going to the cinema. Mm.
Which one? Cooking.
Which one?
Odeon do the best nachos.
You're right. Odeon is top tier. Yeah.
Like, for the nachos alone, I will choose to specifically go to Odeon than any other cinema because it's just great.
View's okay. I don't mind View now. View's kind of stepped up a bit.
A little bit.
Sometimes with some of those cinemas, it depends what branch you go to. Sometimes I've been to certain like Odeons, I'm like, eh, and then some other Odeons, I'm like, amazing. It just depends on the area as well.
Yeah.
But Rick, I would say I mean, I know saying the word music as a hobby is a bit too broad, but your listening, absorbing, and reflection of music is very, like, we had this conversation earlier, it's very analytical. Like, you really do, you'll listen to a song or an album, re-listen back to it, reading the lyrics, look into what's behind it. Like, that's a lot of effort for a human. It's not just a standard listening. I would call that like a little hobby activity on the side.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I'm into my music for sure, more than most other things, to be honest. But I'm making a little bit of music. I got like a new app, like a band lab app, whatever it's called. You can make make little beats on there. I'm messing around with that, trying to get to the grips of how it all works, making little beats and stuff, just little quick things to pass the time.
Did you make the song Tweaked, by the way, on SoundCloud?
Yeah.
That's on my playlist, mate. I like that song.
Oh, really? Jeez, I heard it back the other day. Well, not the other day, like a couple months ago. And it was so out of sync. Like, everything is so offbeat than I remember it being. I was like, oh, this is not good. I need to take this off.
I think maybe that was your honing in ear. Because honestly, from the outside, I quite enjoy that song when it comes on.
Oh, that's nice. Cheers. Just little things like that. Not much, really.
Okay.
Fun. I do have so many questions. And I mean, honestly, how long have we been on? We've been on since... Yeah, we could have an ad break if you want.
Yeah.
We could do an ad break. Good time for an
ad break. Ad break. heartache, baby. I had heartbreak.
Oh. You should have repped it.
Oh, you should have.
Should have wrapped an air break.
Oh shit, we're going to the air break.
Oh, I thought you was gonna do
that. You thought I was gonna come in. Oh shit.
He's back in. Oh my god. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Hey! You're so sad. I'm so happy to see you. Oh, I love you so much. I'm so happy to see you.
Mate.
Nothing has made me happier than just knowing you're coming here today.
Mate, I fucking couldn't agree more. I am. I've been so fucking excited for this year. I have no fucking clue. Right, I'm shattered. I know it's been a while. I know I see you on the poddy, and it's great. But it's just not the same as face-to-face, man. Nothing fucking beats this.
I know.
Come here.
It's Gallop.
But yeah, okay, look, I am shattered. Okay. But yeah, listen. It's been a long journey for me. I know I don't get to see you guys as often. I know we get the potty. I know. And that, you know, it saves my life every freaking week. And I love seeing you guys, but once a week. But to be honest, don't tell the lads this. I'm kind of tired of the podcast stuff, man. I feel like that's all we talk about. Let's switch it up, man. I mean, look, it's been so fucking damn long. Let's get real. Let's get deep, man. How have you been?
I get you, man. No, tell me about it. Like, it's all good. It's all good, you know. Just things and general and life and, you know, me, stuff about me, work's good, home stuff good. I do this poddy every week.
Yeah, man, I'm on it every week.
Yeah, all right, yeah, sorry. Just, you know, we do one every week, like every Monday we release an episode.
Yeah, I'm part of the podcast, mate.
Yeah, but like every Monday, like a brand new, amazing, funny and random episode released for your pleasure.
Yeah, Chaz, I do listen to the poddy.
And it's released and on all major platforms, including YouTube and Spotify.
Mate,
and
listen, mate, I love you, okay? But I don't need the spiel or this weird-ass live ad that you're fucking doing, okay? This isn't being recorded. Chaz, there are no cameras, there are no mics. We aren't on the air. And you're not, despite telling us over and fucking over, the greatest showman. I'm sorry you had to hear that.
But, Chaz,
no buts. Seriously, man, I'm tired. It's been a long journey. There's a lot I'm going through right now. Now, seriously, enough potty talk, man. Let's get real, please. I need something real, something deep, something personal. Let me just sit down for a second. Just listen. To be honest, thank you. To be honest, man, I've actually been going through a really hard time lately. I've been really up and down. Work's been fucking crazy. And there's just nothing out there, man. Nothing. I mean...
Okay.
I've searched high and low.
Just keep it together. So Han is round and you want to catch up and you don't want to do... You don't want to do potty. No, you don't want to do the potty.
And all I keep thinking is, where have I gone wrong? Jess, what can I have done differently? This was my life. Where do I go now?
I don't know, man. Sounds like it's been rough, but, you know, if you want to know where you can go...
Yeah.
There's a little slice of podcast in heaven, released every Monday.
What?
You know, unless we don't, because we all have lives and sometimes shit happens. But, you know, on all major platforms, podcasting platforms...
Charlie, what?
You know, we've got laughs.
What the fuck are you
we've
saying?
Got facts. We've got games. We've got random bullshit for all.
Charlie, mate! What are you doing?
It's got all your favourite hosts. Bald Man Rick, Rasta Man Fraze, Big Dick Charlie, and the best to last.
Charlie, you're fucking scaring me!
Super Sirhan.
Mate, you really think I'm super?
Mate, the superest.
And it's all in one place! You know it, you've heard of it, but you've probably mispronounced it.
It's Red Jackson, right?
Nope.
Red Jack's son?
Close! It's... Red Jackson! Woo! Yeah, Red Jackson, released every Monday. A podcast for your ears only.
Most likely because you're our only fan.
So please enjoy and don't leave us.
Woo!
Woo!
Woo! Love you, Fraser.
Welcome back! Woo!
That answer.
Great. Charlie, you need to be more excited than that, okay? For the people listening at home, it's been an adventure of 2 to 4 to 5 minutes of ad, and they've just come back. You need to bring it
Let
home.
Let me try again.
It's going to be 10 minutes.
Guys, welcome back.
Whoa!
Whoa!
What a head break!
I actually really enjoyed the last ad break, by the way, on the movie tropes one. Oh, I think I've listened to that about 6 times now.
Mate, honest to God, that one is one of our longest ads, and it does not sound like it is. Like, it sounds so smooth.
I didn't realise.
Yeah. It was good though, man. Yeah, it was awesome. Keep going. It was awesome.
I really enjoyed it. All right. Next question. And this is quite a fun one. If you won the lottery, we'll say like 100 million, what would you be in like investing it in? What would you spend it on? Rikesh starts off.
If I was to win 100 million right now, first thing I would do is probably book like a month or two long trip to Japan. Mm-hmm. That would be first thing I would do. Book a flight, first class trip.
Just buy a one-way ticket and then see how long you want to stay for.
Even better. Thank you, Fraser. Thank you. That's what I'm doing. That's the new plan. I'm buying a one-way ticket, first class, straight to Japan, and I'm staying there until I feel like
you die. Going so, somewhere else.
Yeah,
until the 100 mil runs out.
I mean, I'd be smart with it. I'd invest it in like probably properties, because I think that's a safe way to go. Maybe in a bit of crypto here and there, because I do like to check crypto stocks every now and again. Mm-hmm. I'd do a bit, maybe a little like investing in future technology kind of stuff, like renewable energy stuff or the nuclear energy stuff that we got going on. Be a bit smart with it, but I know a good chunk of that money is just going to be pissed away on bullshit and paying stuff off. I'd probably give a good chunk of it.
100 mil.
I'd give a good chunk of it to like, you know, family and stuff. I'd probably give a few mil to you guys.
Oh, and then,
I would just enjoy the rest of my life. That's it. No stress, no drama, just chill.
That's
the way to go, yeah.
Yeah.
Sam?
I think first it's safe to say that none of us have ever seen that type of money. So no. we don't have that type of money mentality. So I would say, like Rikesh, I would want to invest in something, but I think it's a thing that I wouldn't even know of. Like, until you have access to that level of money, your shopping cart can't ever think, you can't even think about what you could put in there. Mm. But I think it would be the same sort of thing. You know what? There was someone I heard talking to, they were giving like a TED sort of talk. And the guy was saying, people don't realistically want a lot of money. People want their financial stresses alleviated. That's what they're more inclined towards, rather than, I want this because I want a mansion. Yeah, but I actually want the money to not have to pay my bills, not the mansion. Mm. For example, so I think it's that mentality of, friends, family, whatever it be, investment, try and make some smart choices, take a little risk there, put some money aside for my life now, like get a good house, good car, foundation stuff, make my investments in my own life. And I would say if I could, in a certain way, put money away for my children immediately, like this is going to be untouchable until they hit 18, for example, or whatever, I put it into my will or whatnot. So I think I wouldn't have like a lavish thought. Maybe like Rick, you know, book a one-way ticket somewhere and just think, I'm going to do what I've always wanted to do. I want to do the whole fucking world. In maybe even if it was in like a mil, I'm going to take a mil out of the 100 and be like, this is my everything money to go to the airport, go do whatever I want.
Mm.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
That would be pretty fun.
Yeah.
Well,
we could just do it together. We could forget about our families and partners and just do it together.
25 mil a piece. We could.
I mean, have you got the money?
I mean, how quickly can
you get my house? Gold bricks,
how quickly can you really get
first one there gets it?
Oh my god, my rat race, that would be so rat sick race, yeah. Oh my god, Fraser?
I like your guys' ideas, like bit of a smart investment and stuff like that. I think I'd like to design and build my own house where I want it. Mm-hmm. And then probably while it's being built, go and travel somewhere, go and have a look around. I don't know where, could around. Be anywhere.
Just,
yeah,
you know, just go to try and have a look under some sheets.
It's that whole it's that whole mentality, like from In Time and stuff like that. Like people with all the time, they don't check their wrists, but people who are living day to day always looking at their wrist kind of stuff. It's kind of like you get to stop and breathe and look around a bit without thinking, oh, I've got a bill coming out tomorrow. That's the alleviation feeling you're talking about. So like, yeah, get rid of debts and stuff like that, which include things like my mum's mortgage and stuff like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, not to go crazy and all that, because I think when celebrities and stuff, when they get into that lifestyle, when they're earning a lot of money, they're around other people with lots of money,
things change.
They gotta keep up appearances, and they start buying things and doing silly things. Like, I don't think there's any need for that. I think
just as you said that, one thing popped into my head. Do you remember MTV Cribs back in the day?
I think I know what you're gonna say, but go on.
I can't remember who it was, but they went to some it was like some big famous producer. Like he went to his house, doing the whole tour. He's got like a massive fucking mansion, like grand staircase, all this crazy shit. But one thing that to this day still really pisses me off is that in one of his many bathrooms, on the taps, the actual faucet, there was like gold encrusted jewels on the actual tap. It's like, how much did that cost, and who the fuck is gonna see that? How much money do you have? Why is it really necessary?
Yeah, that's top tier dickhead.
That's the kind of shit, like, money changes you when you start hanging around with people with that much money and you've got that much extra in your pocket to just do dumb shit, which is, I mean, fair enough, that's what you want to do. But to me, now that just seems a bit mad.
Completely agree. Like when I say I wanted to design and build my house, it's gonna be like, it's gonna be modern, but it's gonna be mostly practical. It's not gonna have silly shit like a jacuzzi on a balcony with a waterfall type shit. No.
That doesn't sound too bad.
With diamonds in it.
You got 100 mil. You can have a waterfall with jacuzzi if you want one. just like make it over? Diamond encrusted or something, you know.
Yeah. I would also like properties in different countries as well, just to be able to go there and then you've got somewhere to stay.
100%.
I think that would do me, mate.
What about you, Chaz?
Well, I would like to buy a street, like a series of houses, one for every person in my family, and hopefully for you guys and whatever. 100 mil's quite a lot. I mean, you could buy quite a few houses, probably buy a street easy. But we've got a street in Shortstown that was named after my uncle. I don't know if I told you guys. So I'd like to buy like a load of the houses down there, just so we could all live down, like we could all have a house down Eastwick Lane. And you guys have your own houses, and it'd be like, you know, whenever you're coming down, you can come and stay here for life or whatever. It's just always there for you. You can rent it out, do whatever you want with it. So you've got a constant investment. But I'd get a house that's big enough to have a massive studio in it, and just have these fucking instruments everywhere, man. Just like 10 different basses, 10 different guitars, 2 pianos, like everything just right there for me. And I could just make music all day long and just be creative. That's
That is your Willy Wonka's factory.
Hell yeah. Instruments.
I want to take that to the next level. I'm going to make... When I say the word investments, I'll go to the next step. I would love to invest in us. Yeah. Kind of like taking Charlie's dream. Imagine if we could have a space where we could live close enough. But imagine if we had like one massive building and we could all work together inside of it. And it would be an element of a space where you could... Like, I would make it accessible for everyone. I would even have a fucking daycare ready in there. So when we have children, we can bring our children and they're in the building. And we've got somewhere to make music, somewhere to do maybe some anime stuff, somewhere to do some, I don't know, some learning stuff, some creative stuff, some stuff to collaborate, somewhere to view, like a cinema and a gaming. Like, I would love to have one building where we could just invest in each other and put all of our efforts and skills into one boat. And even if you wanted to make that a bit more of a firm investment, you could even, like, open it up to the public on some days, or rent it out, or put people to pay and they can come and make their own music. Like, you could still make music, make money, but and just rely on us and our products and our output. Like, I would love to do that. I think,
Do you remember when we had the entrepreneurial group during lockdown? And we were building the board game. Honestly, that shit was fucking fire for me. I absolutely loved it. It was a shame it all kind of just fell apart because lockdown stopped and whatever else. But like, if we had, as you said, if we just had that space to sit and create we would come up with so much shit, especially if we had the money to actually make it. I think we'd just make money back tenfold all the time. I mean, I don't think everything would be a success. You know, I could make two dudes into an animation and it'd be like, no, it wasn't very good. But, you know, this board game we made is actually making millions, you know. Mm-hmm. Just make loads of shit, yeah. Like,
it'd just be like no pressure. Like, usually when things like that kind of take off, you've got investors behind you breathing down your neck, like, you need to release this now and it needs to make this much money. And just not having that as well, just having a space that's kind of like our space to offload and create
with money behind it that you know, we could just chuck a little bit of money at it to make our lives a bit easier.
I've got the team of like animes and stuff. We could do so much. Our ad breaks would be unstoppable.
I have been on it, Damien, to get into animation. Me and Damien have made a little bit of an agreement that he's going to try and look into getting into an animation course, and I'm going to get into a script writing course. And we can like actually make something.
Yes.
But like I was saying to him about the voice acting and stuff, I was like, look, me and the guys are going to voice act. Like, you know, like, honestly, Rikesh is a top tier voice actor. I'm trying to get him into it anyway.
Yeah. I didn't look at the thing you sent me today, to be fair.
If you're good at something, earn money from it. And like, honestly, we're all happy to just go fucking silly and do these fun voices. I think we could smash it, like, just doing little animations. Anyway, that's went off topic.
Yeah, we got a bit lost in the
Jackson
development.
RJO Studios.
That has a nice ring to it.
Who would you say is your hero?
My hero?
Is this person... I mean, I guess your hero can be anyone alive or otherwise, or real or
fictional?
Not.
Fictional?
Yeah.
You can have fictional, yeah. Yeah.
My hero.
I mean, I'll start us off. Mine's easy. I've already told you before, but I've got an order. It's Lin-Manuel Miranda, Tyler Joseph from 21 Pilots, and then Childish Gambino. They're my top three heroes. In that order.
That's a good list.
Gambino is a good shout.
Yeah.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, he was the guy that did Hamilton, right?
His name? Okay, Amy's brother.
Yeah. As you would know him.
Sorry, I haven't thrown the ball to anyone yet. We'll go Fraser, because you two look like you're really pondering.
Stumped.
Yes, I'm still kind of pondering. Keanu Reeves?
great.
He's really cool in the way that he acts in The Matrix. No, I mean...
I love the way he acts in The Matrix. He does that thing in The Matrix, and then it all goes boom, and it's a Matrix.
Or is it Neo? Who is your hero? Is it Neo, or is it Keanu Reeves?
That's a good question.
He's always given back. He's always so humble. He's really cool. Hold on.
I love that Keanu Reeves made the list, though. I mean, he is awesome. He's a treasure.
Mm-hmm. When you look at his backstory, you can tell there's a lot of legitimacy there. Like, he seems like a genuine person, which is nice.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Kamina.
Who?
Kamina. From Gurren.
From Gurren, yeah.
Nice.
That's a good
shout.
Oof, I weren't ready for that name. Jesus. But absolute top tier. Yeah, good shout.
Yeah. Also, Jim Carrey as well, definitely, because like just watching his movies growing up, obviously is great. But then sort of he went through a dark stage, and then he came back from that. He's done a couple of talks where he's very real about everything. And then he's Dr. Eggman in Sonic the Hedgehog.
And he's really good. He's so funny.
So yeah, I think just his like story alone, like his growth is quite inspirational, I think.
Mm. You know, Fraser, you chose some people I would not have expected, but all justified. I'm like, yeah, I get it. Not that you got to justify it to us, but yeah, no, I like your answers.
Mm, yeah, I never really thought about it myself. Like, I'm kind of justifying it to myself.
Yeah, it is a bit of a weird question, isn't it? Like, unless you thought about it already. All right, Rick, go.
Damn.
It's me.
Kendrick, correct? You said Dan.
Kendrick was someone who did come to my list, but I think it kind of depends on, like, in what way am I looking up to them, to these people? In like certain aspects, I can look at Kendrick and be like, that's amazing what he's done. He's got mad strength. He shows a lot of different emotions. And in certain ways, he is a very big inspiration for a lot of things in my life. But then there's people like Kojima, who I absolutely fucking love. Like, that man's life story could be a whole fucking movie, from where he started and what he came from and the shit he had to put up with and the whole Konami thing in general. Like, Kojima is a titan of industry for a fucking reason.
Yeah, 100%.
He is also up on my list. When you said Kamina, I started thinking, oh, anime characters. And instantly I was like, Itachi. Itachi is another one that's like probably one of my favorite anime characters in any show ever. He's just different. He's just a different kind of character that you don't come across.
Just a often. Tragedy, really.
Yeah, it is a tragedy, but that's part
a
of
a martyr.
Yeah.
I think that part of the story was done really well as well. Like, I think the first time I saw the fight between Sasuke and Itachi, and then just seeing how that ended, and just being like,
the last fight.
Yeah, his last fight. Well,
yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
His last fight alive, yeah.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that that fight was...
That was intense. Awesome.
Yeah. So I think, off the top of my head, those three were the ones that came to my head. So I'll stick with those three.
Yeah, that's fair. So, Hanius?
Do you know what? I actually had this conversation with someone, and it was such a fucking difficult question to answer. Do you know what it is? Mine is, like, such a mixed bag. I've never had... I would say, especially like in terms of like celebrity, I've never had an idol in terms of celebrity. I've never had a single celebrity. I was like, I want to be like you. I've just never had that feeling. It's always people that I know. But I think there's too many to mention. Like, I think one of the people I mentioned when I had this conversation last was my sister. I think my sister's really like, now our stages of life are becoming more similar. Like, we're both, you know, paying our own bills and rent, and we've got like our own lives and establishing. Obviously, she's got a child, and seeing her like have a child, be a wife, be a partner, be an individual, be a worker in her career, still getting ahead in her career, still having time for her child, still balancing a relationship, and then like going to the gym and looking after herself. That to me at this stage, I'm like, whoa, like that's amazing to me. But at the same time, I've got other qualities of people that I always kind of. It inspires me, I guess. Like, obviously, like being with someone like Tanya always inspires me. She's just a hardworking girl, good balance of heart. And she's the smartest person I know, but with emotional common sense. Like, it's that vibe where I'm like, you know, emotionally, you're smart enough, but you actually have a clever head. I would say, like, and I'm going to wrap this up on top of my head. Like, I would say, like, my uncle's confidence with his emotions. I love that shit. I love my auntie being a soldier. I love my dad's. Like his way of figuring out problems and problem solving. You know, I love how my mum knows how to kind of create an atmosphere and environment, especially with her sort of cleaning and stuff. Like it creates an environment that I can connect with at least. I would say like Videsh's balance of home life and work, the same bit of Chris. I would say like Rikesh's like loyalty and passion. I would say like Fraser's heart, Charlie's creativity. Like these are little droplets from everyone where I'm like, oh, no, if that person can do it, it already makes me feel like I can. So there's not like one hero. There's elements in all of these people in my life where I'm like, you just inspire me. It makes me feel more confident.
All right, point goes to Sahan for that question. There you go.
Drop the mic.
I think he's just won.
Yeah, boy.
Mate, my fucking family listen to this. I'm gonna sound like a right knob.
No, but I will. I will say this though, just to balance out, because this is a genuine thing. When Fraser mentioned anime, and I was like, I would say Naruto. I fucking think Naruto inspired. What a fucking legend.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, guys. It's been Red Jack, so I'm signing off. See you later. See you next week.
Listen, I didn't say that Sasuke's journey wasn't inspirational. It just doesn't relate to me. I didn't have my whole clan and family killed in front of me.
It doesn't relate because he's too strong. I understand. He's too far out of the depth.
He's too far out of my league. He's intimidating for me.
I understand.
He's not a hero, is he? Come on.
Come on, guys. Would I be that guy, or would I be the guy trying to get the person back?
Yeah, 100%. Naruto energy is top tier energy, mate. I don't get me wrong, Sasuke is necessary in the story, but other than that,
he's a good additive, you know.
Yeah, he's a good side character. He's a
really good side character. Which makes him more relevant, right?
Yeah, he makes the whole thing, you know, have a little bit of
relevance. Oh, is it? Fucking interesting. What was the next question on the list there, mate, before we get sidetracked?
All right, what's your favorite Naruto character?
Who's the most relevant?
He always finds a way somehow. It always finds a way.
All right, final question. Do you know? Yeah, final question. What is your favorite sex position?
I'm ready.
Is it actually on the list?
It is, yeah. Okay.
I could already think of so many more sex questions to ask. This is a subject I can talk about all day. I love it.
What is your favorite song of all time? What is like that one song?
Oh,
bullshit. I had so many answers. All right, don't worry. I won't count anyone out. What's our favorite song?
Favorite song?
It's tough because mine changes a lot, but I think there's been one consistent for a long time for me.
That's difficult, man.
It's not even
favorite artist, it's favorite song.
What is that song that comes on and you always enjoy it? It'll always make you happy. It will always put you in the right mood.
Okay, but this is the thing. I put favorite songs, and favorite song could be like a TV show, right? You can put it on at any time. But then I've got some favorite songs that are so deep or triggering or emotional that I don't listen to it often. It's like Same. A treat when I do, but they're my favorites as well. So it's like I'm trying to find what's my everyday favorite song. I know I have a song of this is deep. Like The Last of Us is my favorite game, but I can't play that regularly. I need breaks.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. I mean, I don't know what the best way to put it is.
Can we also extend it to like maybe your favorite album or something like that? Because sometimes an album can resonate with a certain time in your life.
Okay, let me rephrase this question.
Okay.
What song would you like to be played at your funeral?
That's just worse.
No, I can't answer that because the songs that I want will be so fucking dramatic. I love house music, man.
Yeah, mate, go down on the fucking
man. Fucking faithless. That's his funeral, won't it?
Skrillex banger. No,
I will put that down as my favorite experience of any of a song. Will always be as Rikesh tagged it, the Swan Song, the Duck Song, and it is Imagine by Armin van Buuren. It is to this day my favorite house song. It starts with like the orchestra with an electric guitar. Bum, 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 ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da And then it just hits pure treble, just pure. It's all is just this bass on your chest. And then it yeah, pure bass. That's my, especially as a house lover, imagine by Armin van Buuren, old Armin. Ooh, nothing has come close to that feeling smacking me on the chest. It's like, what's that Gambino song where the bass, the treble just hits you?
I was going to say, Zealots of Stockholm.
Yes, the other one, but yeah. Take that feeling and like double it. That's how much more stronger the bass is on your chest. It's heavy. It's a very heavy song. You would appreciate it, Chad. I don't know if you'd love it, but that's my favorite, like, once in a while song, but I want to look for a more everyday sort of song.
I mean, I don't have asking me what my favorite song is asking me like, what is your favorite game? There's too many songs that come to mind, but if you're going to narrow it to like an album or something, then it would have to be Daft Punk's Homework album.
Yeah.
Homework or Discovery, one of the two.
I thought you were going to say Discovery, but yeah,
I think if anything, it might be Discovery, if anything. But I think that album was like, I think Daft Punk in general were what got me so heavily into music today. Because I remember first hearing the album, and then I would like fully have that album on repeat. Like I'd bring the, back in the day in the 90s, we had like the actual stereos with the CDs and the radios and the antennas and everything. So I'd sneak that upstairs from the kitchen into my room, I'd put, plug it under the bed, and I would literally fall asleep listening to the Daft Punk album on repeat. That album was fucking insane. I love that album. I think that's what got me into music. So if it had to be anything, that would be probably one of the first things
that sounds
that
fair.
Come to my mind. Yeah.
Go on, Fraze.
Yeah, it's funny you say Daft Punk, because that song, that
Infinity Repeating
that recently, that it wasn't on the album. For some reason they left it out, and then
they left it out, and on the anniversary of that album's release, 10 years I think it was, they released a few unreleased tracks, and that was one of them.
It's crazy to think that was 10 years unreleased.
That was just hiding there. That was just a random B-track.
It's a masterpiece. Like,
and the video still timeless, phenomenal. Still futuristic, still makes sense even in this era.
Phenomenal.
Makes more sense, crazy enough. I think there's a 4-hour version or something like that on YouTube that I've not played because I don't want to lose 4 hours.
But not on repeat, right? It's one continuous flow, or just ends and restarts?
I haven't tried it. I would have thought that maybe they've looped it, or maybe it ends and restarts.
Not tonight, Rikesh. Not tonight. We're not.
I think they've looped it. They would have looped it 100%.
When I was at uni, I listened to a lot of J. Cole.
I was like, is he going to really do this? Better.
J. Cole's a good show.
Far from my favorite song. Yeah, J. Cole's early stuff, it's got so much, power behind his voice, his motivation to make it in life, he knows he can do it. Have you heard the story about how he just went up to Jay-Z and just listen to my album or something like that, listen to my my mixtape, and then Jay-Z signed
him. I heard a story about this. Was that actually what happened?
I think that's what happened. Yeah.
Shit. Okay.
So yeah, I think it's his first two, the warm up and the come up. They're just really visceral. He mixes a couple of Nas's tunes as well.
Yeah.
And then he went a bit more commercial, but now he's sort of come back to, because he produces his own beats as well. So he'll do his own beats and then write his own lyrics, make his own song.
Nice.
So I just want to ask them, between both of Fraser's and Rikesh's answer, if one of you, as you mentioned, predominantly J. Cole, and Rick, I know you mentioned Daft Punk, but you also mentioned Kendrick. So if one of you likes Kendrick and the other one likes J. Cole.
Oh, here it comes.
We hate each other.
No, I was actually going to ask then, where does Drake stand in all of this?
Fuck out of here, sir.
Yeah. Both of their faces said it.
Fucking shit. Get out. No. Fuck Drake. I want it on record, on YouTube. Fuck Drake. I do not like Drake. I want it officially on record. Fuck Drake.
His old music was okay.
His old music was great. Yeah. Ever since Hotline Bling, this man has lost his fucking...
Do you know what? I just feel like Charlie just took his answer and was like, oh, it's going to be Drake.
He recently did a song with J. Cole when they were kind of faced off against each other.
Of that song, right? The guy fucking the video.
Have
ends
you heard
him.
The apology? Have you heard the apology that he released the other
J.
day?
J. Cole.
That was to Kendrick though. I'm talking about J. Cole and Drake. And
Drake's video.
Yeah, the first person shooter thing. Yeah, it was fucking stupid.
Chaz, have you seen the video to this?
No.
So this is their little beef, and this is them putting it aside. And it's a song basically who's the bigger man? J. Cole does his part, and they're doing like a chess match, and then a ping pong that they're opposing each other. But the video ends with Drake on a building with everyone clapping for him. A massive fucking statue is revealed of Drake, and he's dressed as fucking Michael Jackson with the white glove. And I'm like, no, this is too much. Like, he's gassed himself too much of like, yeah, Bob, I am the shit, I'm the goat. And I'm like,
very long story short, like, J. Cole and Drake released First Person Shooter a couple months ago. And they was pretty much them saying that they're the best in the game, in the whole rap game. And it's Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick Lamar are considered the three best artists of today's music. Why Drake is including himself in that, I don't know. He's a fucking idiot.
Wait, are we talking rap or what? Because this
rap,
is mad.
Hip-hop.
I'm talking rap.
Yeah,
hip-hop.
Their genre.
Drake is not even in any league.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
I think Hamilton has more rap than Drake.
That's not more even an insult. That's probably facts.
Yeah.
But long story short, they released that track, First Person Shooter, saying that they were pretty much the best. A few weeks ago, Kendrick was featuring on Future and Metro Boomin's track Like That, and he basically took shots at J. Cole and Drake for saying they think they're the best, that they're not.
In one verse.
Kendrick had a verse, and he was basically saying that Kendrick is the fucking best. The other day, J. Cole released a whole new studio album called Might Delete Later. On that album, there was a track called 7-Minute Drill, where J. Cole responded back to Kendrick Lamar saying, "You're not shit, your album's the shit, you can't do shit, we're only talking about..." Like, he's talking too much nonsense. It stressed me the fuck out, because I love I love J. Cole and I love Kendrick. So to see these two fight, genuine stress. Ask Sir, and I was fucking stressed. The other day, J. Cole released a statement on his tour, and he was like, "I'm sorry for what I did. I shouldn't have done it. It was stupid." He basically apologized for it because he knows not to poke the fucking bear that is Kendrick Lamar.
Well, see, the thing is, Kendrick and J. Cole are actually boys. Like,
yeah,
they are friends.
Yeah. They do this shit, though, for publicity as well. Like, this has been going on for so long. Do you guys not remember Fuck You and Fuck You Right Back by Eamon and Frankie? Eamon brought out a song in like 2001, guys. I'm gonna like drag your memories back, and it was all the lying, I'm giving it back. Da 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 da. Fuck you, right back.
Oh yeah.
But there was two songs. It was he released the first one, and she came out with a comeback. Mm-hmm. And, mate, rivalry's been going on for Eminem's had it with people.
Machine Gun.
Yeah.
Machine Gun Kelly. That was funny.
Yeah, I mean, Machine Gun Kelly got slammed so hard he went into fucking rock.
Yeah.
He hit him so hard he changed genre.
He turned emo.
Embarrassing.
It was savage.
Yeah. Sorry, I just wanted to provoke that conversation. I was like, let's stay on top of the news.
Did everyone answer that question?
I think you didn't.
I don't think you did.
You didn't.
No, I think you're right.
No, you didn't.
You can't pick your own.
We could have, actually. It does do some good music.
So I have this one song, Chocolate by the 1975. It always reminds me of when I was walking to Sirhan's house once and it was sunny, and it just hit me so different that day. And it's always just been like this song that whenever I listen to it, it makes me happy.
Takes you back.
But I'm also a massive 21 Pilots fan, and pretty much anything 21 Pilots I enjoy. I mean, not everything, because obviously they make a lot of varied music and some of it isn't for me. But most of it I will have on and just really enjoy. I love 21. So
yeah.
Probably Heavy Dirty Soul or something like that. As a song.
Yeah, I like the vibe of a couple of their songs. It does kind of take you back to like the 90s. Like, you kind of relate to the way they grew up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's all coming to an end soon, and Poddy incoming for when that story ends, because deep shit, man. Oh, there's so much. I've been looking into it already, but I'm literally just scratching the surface. It's so cool. It's so cool.
Ooh,
right. I think that we will end it there, unless you want to tell us your favourite sex positions. That's up to you guys.
I will give you a clue.
Inverted eagle.
Oh, nice. Inverted.
Inverted eagle? What the fuck is that?
Where you turn her inside out? Oh, mate, you don't know.
No. No, I was thinking like in Scrubs, where it's like, when Turk picks up James, like, eagle, and goes round in the sock. I'm like, okay, if you invert that, then that's the position. Like, he holds her facing away from her. And it's like, woo, just round in a circle. Jesus Christ, Fraser. You would be it's, that guy yeah. doing fucking activity.
He's got the flags on.
You'd be doing fucking squats at the same time.
Oh, shit.
Oh my God! Inverted eagle is a
is it actually?
Pose. It's a yoga pose.
It's a yoga pose. What? Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Give me up. See it.
Add a little bit of sexual content to that.
Let me search it up.
Oh, there you go.
Oh damn! Yeah, that makes sense. If she wraps her legs around you facing down and you stand up and then you spin, boom.
Experiment, yeah. Fraser. Experiment. Give it a try. Use your physics brain and
finishing move. Inverted eagle.
Get over here.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. If you imagine that being a sexual position, get over here.
Oh my God. Yeah, damn.
I'm already pregnant.
What? Well, I think that's a lovely place to end it. Thank you for listening, guys.
Just listen, guys. Just remember, whoever's listening, if you do try the inverted eagle, please be responsible, be mm-hmm. safe.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget to stretch.
Don't mm-hmm. forget to stretch. Thank you, Rikesh. Mm-hmm. Because
my protection.
This is not a joke. This is the core of our podcast, right, guys? We're here to inform. We're here to keep people safe and make sure that they're limber. Because 100%. This is where the inspiration for this podcast came from originally, is when Fraser actually initially tried the inverted eagle. Mm. He hurt himself. Then we had to start a whole charity case for his surgery. Mm-hmm. And it just made us so much more aware of the dangers of the inverted eagle, the flying tortoise, you know, the upside down monkey. These aren't jokes anymore, people. The more you know, the safer you will be.
It wouldn't be a Red Jacks on podcast without a public service announcement from CERN at the end, would it?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. This is part of my job. This is what I do on a daily basis.
Be safe, be stretched.
Also, remember to finish him.
Oh my God.
Brutality.
Well, thank you for joining us. Bye, boys. it's been wonderful having you again. I was your host today, Charlie, joined by
Rick,
Fraser,
and your upside down boy, Sirhan.
It's been a pleasure, guys.
Boy.
And catch you in the next one.
Woo! So, like and subscribe.